turn to the book of Mark, chapter 15. What it's all about is speaking about faith. And I know that's what I preached on for the last couple of weeks. And the reason for it is that I think we need to know a whole lot about faith. And I know that we can go down from A into all the way to the last letter in the alphabet. And we can think that we have covered all the scripture and everything about faith, but we haven't. And we won't. Because, see, sometimes God can use the word faith in a way to where we as individuals, we would look at it as a trial or something that we have done and we thought we were doing it by faith. That's just like over there in Abraham. When he offered up Isaac. But when he done that, he was wondering the whole time, what was he doing out in the wilderness with his own son gathering sticks? And I got to thinking about that. I got to thinking about while he was right there in the forest or the desert or wherever gathering sticks. Because Genesis chapter 20, was talking about the trials that he was put under. And he's saying, that God was saying to him, he said, as far as you're concerned, all the trials that you have been through, that you are complaining about. You're complaining about my desire to worship you. My desire is to hold you accountable. And also my desire is to get a hold of your heart in a way where you can understand a little better, because it's in God, you know, because it's God's heart. But you know, when we do something wrong, it's God's heart we affect. It affects God. It affects God in a way where he was focused on us as individuals. But because of that, we have started focusing on other things of the world. And it takes our focus off of him.
Is that sun in your face? Do you need to slide over?
But that's
slide over.
You know, that's when that is when demon. Because they're under so much pressure. They're under so much decay and the morals and all of that. And he must, we must remember, and I must remember. This is what God said to Abraham. He said, I must remember that Abraham is losing his faith. Can we lose our faith? Yeah, we can lose our faith. Can we go and receive it back once again? Yes. But that means that we have to go to God. And God has to tell us the reason we was in this situation that we got ourselves in was because of the trial, the tribulation, the unknown, and the useless of the people, where they don't have the desire in their heart anymore for the Lord. Now, Abraham, he didn't have none. He lost his faith. We still went in the very first verse. He says, God told him, he said, I'm going to try him. He took the test. And he did. But he did come back to the Father. And as he came back to the Father, he became the friend of God. Now I want to ask you something. Do you think that God can call you his friend? I do. It tells us over the book in John, I don't know which chapter it's in now, but it tells us over there that talking about faith and talking about serving the Lord. There he said that John was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Because what did he do? What did John do? He went out and he done exactly what the Word of God said. He was baptized, and then after he was baptized, he walked with God, and he walked with Jesus. Then when it came down to Jesus' time, for Jesus to be baptized. Now, he didn't have to be baptized. He didn't have to be baptized. Plus to be saved. But he done it willingly so that our faith could become stronger than it ever had before in our lifetime. It said in Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, says, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plain of Miriam, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked. And lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, for thy servant." You know, right here in this one word, last part of the verse, we've seen so many words in God's word. And sometimes it's a particular word that will stand out. A particular word that will stand out and hold us accountable. Right here, I think the word right here is in verse 3. And it's at the end of verse 3. I pray thee from thy servant. I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away. God said, I found favor in your heart. I found it well. I know that you're going to do right. I know that you're going to do the things right. I can allow Satan to attack you any way he can. But when he does, I ain't got to worry about you falling into his trap. I ain't got to worry about that little crevice that you have there when that little crevice, every time Satan comes up, his little head comes pointing through the little crevice there. And he gets a hold of your heart. And when he gets a hold of your heart, what happens? He takes that little crevice the way he had and he increases it. He widens it. He widens it. Up and to where we as individuals will not understand it. There's a whole lot here in the Bible I don't understand. But because I don't understand it, does not make it not true. I've known preachers to say, well, if it's in God's word, I know it. I know about it. I know where it's at and everything. And you know who I heard that from? He's called the Walking Bible. And that's Van Impe. I mean, he can quote more verses than Carter's got a little bit. I mean, he can quote. I mean, they say that he can quote the whole Bible. That's saying something. But I've got to listen to him here lately. I think a little bit of that's a little quick brag. And he's bragging about himself a little bit. Now, we can do that. We can tell people, say, hey, I mean, I know God's word, I know the King James Bible, from here to life. But watch what you say. Because the next time that you pick it up, you won't be able to read it. The next time you pick it up, The Holy Spirit won't speak to you. The next time you speak, pick up the Word of God. Nothing will motivate you to do something different than what you've been doing. But we need to be people that is motivated in what we do. And if we are, Satan and all of his cohorts, they cannot stop. And I had somebody say this weakening. It kind of dawned on me in a way. What he said. He said, I appreciate you done that. He said, did you hear? I said, for what? And he was telling me. I said, no. I said, it's not me. It's not me. It's God. And the reason I say it's God is because God is the only one that I know of in the scripture or anywhere else that God can take a sinner and turn him around to be a saint. You're saved, you're a saint. We're saved, we're a saint. What does a saint do? A saint does something for the Lord God Almighty. And over here in John chapter, John chapter 14. Well, this one I'm going. Verse 24. I always have to quote it. Not let a word out of any word or something like that, but I can't. So God said, don't worry about that. That's why he's not wrote the Bible. So you can just get in and read it yourself. And you can read it to other people. But we say, well, I can't remember that verb. I can't remember two or three words tonight. And you know, God's not going to bless me because of that. Because I could at home sometimes, and I could have went and done something there with my life and just get in the Word of God and just read the passages, what he wanted me to read. And as I was reading the passage, that the truth of God's Word would come back to me. But I should not let it ever think in a way at all possible that God cannot do it. When we know that it's impossible to please God, what the Word of God says, but to please God, what does he want us to please him with? He wants us to please him with the soul that walks up in the tree. That lost soul goes to town and get some get a carton of beer. That sinner that's gone over town to get a bottle of booze. That sinner that's going over town and everything and going into a home, a house out, and shacking up with a lady. That sinner, that's who God is after. That's who God wants. That's who God desire to have. Because when he desired to have that, and then only then, is when he said, "Son, I know you didn't have enough. You didn't have more than probably you could ever ask for. But I've had enough too now. Go on, tell the angel to blow your horn. To blow the horn, to blow the trumpet. How many going to get it today? I think it's going to be very few. And that's the one, and I think that's very few, really. Because I think that stems around each individual as they go to church, as they read God's word, as they do something for God, and not in something for another individual, or going ahead and taking the gospel to a sinner and telling him about all of God's love, and telling him about his wrath, and just tell him about, does God really care? But yet, when you come to that same point in time, we can say, well, we can see right here on these steps how God has taken care of us. How God has taken care of these steps. And when I thought about that, I got to thinking about the steps right here. Then in front of the church is right here. And what we've been doing. And what we're trying to do. We're trying to go about repairing the walls there. And we'll that to prepare the steps also. Why do we need to repair the steps? Because it was unsafe. It was unsafe where people could not even come up it anymore. But now we got steps like that. I mean, I think it looked good. I think the individual done a fantastic job. I really do. But I'll tell you something. It's just not him. I thank you. And allowing to seek a God, not just to spend the money to be spending it or foolishly or something like that. No, but we got a dozen missionaries right now that keep calling and wants to come by here and just speak. But you know, I don't want to get that many in here to where we'll get one of them, and they're so dynamic. They can move the heart of the people. But yet in the same realm that as they are getting in touch with the people, is that the people can get in touch with God. I cannot get in touch with God for you, to no one else. Only one I can get in touch with God for is myself. But I think everything that we try to do here at Faith Baptist Church, and you tell me if I'm wrong, that's the reason that, I don't know who it was, how many it was or not, when they voted on it, when they first established the church, and they voted on the name for the church. I believe they voted on the name of this church because God told the people, and he told the pastors, and he told everybody that's going to be coming today. He's going to be tested. That Faith Baptist Church be tested. And I said, hey. But we've been tested by God. God is also saying, because you prayed, and you asked for my leadership, and you asked me to do what I need to do, so we don't have to have no argument over the name and what the church is going to be. And they come up with the word faith. So they said, well, God was talking. You've got to have faith. You've got to have faith in the believer. You've got to have faith in where you're going this Sunday. Is that a church where the preacher will get up and preach? And he will preach about sin. He will preach about this, preach about that. But yet, the individual, as he goes about, he looks to God for everybody. And he asks God to touch your heart. But I just don't know. The churches today are having a hard time. And I believe the reason for that is because people are leaving those churches. Coming to our church or anybody else's church, and then allow the individual that can take the stand for the fall that they're right ready to take. We will all be tested. People that's going to be coming that we're going to have. A heartwarming revival to where we can go about telling other people about Jesus. That's what you've got to believe. And telling somebody else about Jesus and what Jesus can do for them. Do we want to tell somebody what Jesus has done and can do for them? All we have to do is just turn right around and give them my testimony. All we have to do is just go right around and just brag on God to them. Tell the people, let the people know what God has done for us. Yeah, we may not be living in no $300,000 home. And I may not be out here driving Mercedes-Benz or Lincoln right now, or a Rolls Royce or something like that. And I may not have, but maybe a dollar or two in my pocket. But that dollar or two that I have in my pocket, and that little frame house that I got, all of that meets the need that God wants to meet. And we don't need nothing else. We don't need nothing else. I don't need nothing else. The only thing that I've been praying for is election. And I've really been praying that God would touch my leg somehow. If he just did not touch the whole leg, just touch it to where I can stand a little bit. And I can get back to where I can drive and go out and visit people and tell people about Jesus. You know, yeah, you got the telephone. We got Facebook. We got the internet. Yeah, we can do that. Is that personal? No. We don't need to do it. We don't need to go and get in touch with people like that. That's to the law. We need to show up at the home and let them know the reason we're there is because we care for them. And that can show in our lives as we go and I'll just ask my wife and my daughter Just put me in a nursing home. Just put me in a nursing home. Because I won't be no count to anybody. I love you. I love this church. No more than what we got, and no more funds than what we got. But you know something? But I've seen it, and I've experienced the blessings of God. I've seen where God has intervened when He didn't have to. But He did. He intervened on us. When the Lord, when me and Brother James were coming back from a Jubilee down in Bass, North Carolina, at Bill Bones Church, when we was coming back and driving back here, I just got to thank you, got quiet, got to thank you about everything. And James says, "What's wrong with you? You ain't talking." I say, "Yeah, I know. Just do some meditation. Do some thinking." And when the Lord laid it on my heart, I could not get away from it. I could not get away from it. And the devil's trying to bring something to Danville that may stir the people's heart. So Daniel's never had anything like it. If it did, it was back in the 20s, the 30s, and maybe the 40s. But since then, they ain't never had nothing. Only thing they've had is where churches just squabble. And we don't need to squabble anymore. We need to start complaining to God that we don't have nowhere to go this week to visit somebody. If we pray that prayer, "God, who do you want me to go and see next week? I don't know who to go and see next week. I don't know who to call next week." You try. I challenge you to do that. But God ain't going to sit back. He's not going to sit back and allow you to do that. But He's going to give you a place. That's the reason Jesus walked on this earth. You know He, you know who He was around? You know who? The Lord Jesus. Who He stood close to. And He was always around them. And that was the Son. The saved people, He didn't need to be around them. They were already saved. I mean, there's one individual in the Bible that I honestly, and I believe this, and if I have to apologize for this, I will. But I'm going to apologize when it gets back to happen. There was a man in God's Word that God touched his heart. But He was touching his heart the whole time that He was going in and having Christians murdered and having other things who happened to them, the synagogues, the churches, everything around where people were going and working. They go into working, but they didn't have nothing to work. So what did they do? They just started coming and having poker games and all this stuff, casting lots and all of that. You know, God's not pleased in that. God's not pleased in a pastor or a church or people in the church to take and vote on the church. Take a Sunday night away from his word and watching a football game where men are out there on that field running up and down it, knocking each one down. And probably it's some foul language is going on too. I met a pastor here one time, and he invited me over to his church, but he wanted to talk to me. Come find out what he wanted to talk to me about was coming over there, and to where I could learn more about the church and everything, to where I could end up taking the church. Because he was about a year and a half, 2 years from retirement. When I walked in that church, when I walked in the basement, I had to walk from in front all the way around to the back to go into the basement. When you go into the basement, the first room you see was the pastor's office. And I went in there, which I kind of halfway thought it was going on in there when I was standing outside where we had the door. But when he opened that door, God did not have to say anything else to me about it. God said, "You want me to be your son." Because then I didn't think right. You know what he was doing? He was in there studying for that Wednesday night service that week. And as he was over there studying, had his Bible open, and called himself a pastor, said he was called of God. But yet he was sitting behind that desk, had that cigar out, and he was a little puppy dog. In God's house. See, people don't realize that this is God's house. They don't realize who built this house. Who built it? We didn't build it. Oh, yeah. They had laborers to come out here and they labored, yeah, to put the building up. But who gave them the strength? Who gave them the idea to go about doing it? It was God. We cannot do nothing without God being the center of it all. But yet, when it comes to faith, we just don't have the faith. We don't have the faith of that grain of mustard seed. And that's all God asked. God didn't ask for anything. That's the only thing he asked when he was talking about faith. That one little mustard seed. Telling us, if you go out by faith and you believe and trust in me in that one little grain of mustard seed, You won't have to worry about it no more. Because that that one seed will multiply. Now, some have said, and I tried to find in any dictionary or encyclopedia or in the Bible dictionary, and I haven't found it yet. But they say it's in there. But I don't know why, what's going around. But they say mustard seed, that little grain of mustard seed, the smallest seed of all seed, when it is planted, and when it was looked out, and when it was watered, and when it was cultivated around it, to keep the weeds out from choking it down, they said that one plant can grow as tall, the tallest of any plant that they ate. And it says that the trunk of it was just like almost like an oak tree. You cannot move it, you cannot bend it. Now, how true all that is, I don't know, but I do know it's in God's Word. So it had to have the strength to it to be in God's Word. We need to have faith. How many? And I'll ask you a raising of hand if you don't mind. How many of you that be willing to do something, whether it's church, in September the 9th through the 13th, can see majority of these pews filled up? Or not even that, or see the church completely packed out. That they'd have to be up in the choir setting, and then they'd have to be on the two little benches up here setting, and then we'd have to chair that. We'd have to go up there and find a chair. Or we may have to go and buy some chairs and put some chairs out. Do you believe that it can happen? I believe it with all my heart. You know why? Because I know I serve a God that can do it. And I know that there's nothing impossible when it comes to God. But when it comes to me and you, everything is impossible. How many would like to come? Church could start. I don't know when God would start. God will let you know, and God will let me know. When He does, He puts you in the church. How many do you think that God wants us to see here? Does He just want us to invite one individual, per individual here? No. God wants us to invite as many as we can. God wants us to get as many people in and get as many people saved. And when we do that, there's nothing impossible between us and God. But we've got to do it God's way. That's the reason a whole lot of churches, that's the reason a whole lot of churches and a whole lot of people that claim to be a Christian, claim to know God, is got in the shape of day in. It's because they don't know who God is. They don't know who God is. If they knew who God was, then they would question God. But we question God every day during the week. When we don't go out and call nobody, or when we don't pick up a phone and just call somebody. I heard of an elderly lady down in North Carolina. She's right at the border of North Carolina and South Carolina. And at this time, she was around in the 80s, I think about 89, 88 or 89, whatever. And she's been saved since 1940. And the night she got saved, and this is her pastor telling this, said that he heard her say this, that she promised God that she would get in touch with somebody every day of her life and tell them about Jesus. You know what? She had a child. An individual in the church put her to the test. Says, you mean you got that many friends you can call every day and get enough of an individual all year long? You mean you got that many friends? She says, so have. Matter of fact, I got a book. Got all the names in it. Got the addresses. Got the phone number. Yeah. And every day one of my friends. And if he went back and he quoted the same verse, he quoted. We're talking about Jesus Christ and him going to Calvary and him dying. But yet we were his friends before he died for us. That's who he considered. He considered me his friend. But then after he was crucified, and then after I got saved and I said yes to him, then I can call Jesus my friend. And this individual told, finished telling the story about that old lady. Since she'd been saved since 1940, every day since the day she got saved. When she got saved at night, she went home at night. And she called somebody. Family member, I don't know what it was. And they asked her, said, some people in the church said, I don't believe it. You ain't got to take me. Come on now. I mean, you take 300. Just say one a day for 1 year, 365 days in a year. You mean you got 365 friends? She said, what you talking about? I got more than that. That's unbelievable. You know what she done next day? It was Sunday night. Sir, that was Sunday morning. But when she come back Sunday night, you know what she had? She had her address book. And she had her address book listed from A to Z. Had names in each and every space, address, and phone number. You know what it was? The telephone book. She started calling people from the telephone book. And her pastor said that she had went through the telephone book almost four times in calling people. And they her pastor said that day that I heard him say it. He said she, with her faith, and what faith she had, she could turn anything on his right side of it. And said, if you don't believe, you ain't got to live. We all got to live. We all got a telephone. We all got four or five telephones. We got a telephone in our home. We got a telephone in the car. We got a telephone on us as we get out of the car and go somewhere. So we cannot be nowhere without a phone. We can always have a phone. And he asked his church that day. He says, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. At the end of the service that night, the pastor called her up. And it was sometimes like I got a story, you know, the way she served the Lord and things and prayed and called it. And he said, if that was what the people we got here, we got 10 people here like her. We can see the difference in that whole church. Matter of fact, we can see a whole difference in the community. Matter of fact, we can see a whole difference in the state. And it won't stop there. We can see the difference in the United States of America. We can see it up in Washington, D.C., in the White House. We can see it. Because God is going to allow us to see it if we do it His way. That's all I want to do. I want to do it His way. I want to see this church really grow. Because I know if it grows, it's going to be sinners. It's going to have some lost people saved. And when that's what my heart has the desire for, is to see that soul I hear to say that. Now, Father, we ask you today, Lord Jesus, we thank you for each word, Lord, that you pass by my way. Now, Father, that we know your precious word and what it says. And yes, our Father, there is in the Word of God where you have spoken yourself, and you have put each one of us to the test. You're challenging us for us to challenge you. And you say that you want to increase the church. You want more people saved. God, if that's what you want, I declare it to be done. Because of what you said. Because of what the Word of God said. And Father, be with these people. We pray each day this week. to be with our family members, be with the closest one to them, be with the friends, be with the co-workers. Touch the heart of God. And Lord Jesus, we just give you the thanks for it all. Because it's of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen.